Hey, you guys, welcome to Listen Bitch Presents Tell Me Why You're Special. This is the arena where your voice actually matters because the truth is a lot of people have something to say, but nobody's listening. Not because they're not smart, not because they don't have value, but because they don't know how to communicate in a way that actually lands. And your voice is not just for talking. You're meant to make an impact. You're here for connection. You're here for moving people. God didn't give you a story just for you to sit on it. He gave it to you so you could use it. If you've ever felt like you have something to say, but it's not quite hitting, this conversation is for you. Today's guest is Danny Brussel. He's a speaker, author, and someone who's helped thousands of people turn their stories into something that actually moves people. So, Danny, let's start here. Tell us who you are, what you do, and what makes you special.
Well, first of all, thanks so much for having me on your show, Brandon. I really appreciate it. You're spreading joy in the world, and the title of this podcast is fantastic. You got my attention immediately.
That's
So
awesome.
it is great. Jen Sincero, her book, You're a Badass, it was the same thing. I was like, I had to buy the book because it lured me in. So well done.
Thank you.
If I was going to write an autobiography, it would probably be called Pivots because I feel like I've already lived 9 lives. 30 years ago, I was a journalist covering President Bush Sr. in the 1992 presidential election. I loved my job. I got to meet every editor of every major daily, and one editor offered me the City Beat for $16,500 a year. Meanwhile, a friend told me they were hiring teachers in South Central Los Angeles for $25,000 a year. So, Brandon, I became an educator for the noblest of reasons,
That's
high
amazing.
pay.
That's
And
amazing.
I actually fell in love with teaching. I've taught all age levels from preschoolers all the way up to rocket scientists. I can make that claim because I used to teach English as a second language to engineering students at the University of Southern California.
Wow.
And in 2005, my wife and I attended a real estate seminar, which turned out to be a scam, and we lost everything financially. And I could give you the woe is me story, but I'm a positive person. I learned a lot from that experience. First of all, I learned that my wife is my soulmate. I put her through the ringer and she stood right by me. She's an incredible human being. Second of all, I learned money's not everything because you can lose money just like that. Third, I try not to judge other people, Brandon, because if I was somebody who saw what I had done, I would have said, well, you deserve that. But now I realize, unless you know everything about a person, you really don't know anything about a person. Fourth, I became a Christian, which I'm always embarrassed to confess it took a catastrophe. But the more I read my Bible, I realize I'm not the first screw up to find Jesus. And then fifth, and probably most applicable to this podcast, is I didn't want to file bankruptcy. And my accountant said, well, you have to earn this much more money this year. And so I started speaking on the side and I hit that number right on the number. Well, the next year, Brandon, he gave me a much higher number. And I hit that number right on the number. So in year three, I thought, well, maybe I should set a higher number. And basically, during one of the worst economic downturns in American history, I was able to build up a highly lucrative speaking business, which eventually attracted the attention of some pretty famous people and companies who asked me to coach them. And I have to confess to you, Brandon, I really resisted coaching for a long time because you need to know this about me. I am obsessive compulsive. I will not let you fail. I will be on your back, holding you accountable until you succeed. Well, now that I work primarily with entrepreneurs and business owners and executives who pay me a lot of money, I find that they're highly motivated. They do the work, and it's been some of the most rewarding work I've ever done. So you can take me down whatever path you choose, my friend.
I'm just sitting here in awe right now because, like, every time I sit across from someone in this conversation, like, it's always I learn something, I meet incredible people, and now I'm just like, wow, this guy's really good at his craft, and I don't even know how to focus now because I'm just taken in on the story. I think it's incredible, and I'm like, it's just wow. Okay, so everybody, let's just sit with that. He came out of the gate swinging, and you know, you've already captured the essence of what the show, like what I really want people to understand is that, you know, all the success you have, everywhere you are right now, there's a story behind it, and you learn from it. And I think that's the most powerful thing. People think that, oh my gosh, Danny's special. He got lucky. He was born with whatever. I don't know if you guys heard that part where he literally lost everything.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big deal because that's the kind of stuff that, you know, people are using as an excuse to never move the needle again. And it's frustrating. And here you are. I
Well,
mean,
I love what you said just then, Brandon, because people have to understand everybody has a story. Most of the people I work with, they're either terrified of speaking or they have no interest in speaking. They don't think they're interesting. I'm like, everybody's interesting. They say, I can't speak. I'm like, so you've never had dinner with a friend? Because that's what you do is you tell stories over dinner. Everybody has a story. I mean, the stupidest thing I ever said when I was teaching first grade is one day I told the kids, write about your lives. And they looked at me like I was from outer space. They're like, we're only six. Nothing's happened to us. And I'm like, no, man, things happen to you every single day. I mean, when I was in first grade, I had a teacher. She called me stupid in front of the class. She smacked me on the hand and got me to cry in front of everybody. And so when I was walking to school the next day, I had an apple and I peed on the apple and I gave her the apple and she ate it and said it was the best apple she'd ever had. My first graders are like,
Love it.
that is awesome. This is also the reason I never accepted a food from
Hey,
a
I was
child,
just gonna
but
say, I know you weren't taking apples in class after that.
no way, no way. But I mean, everybody has a. I mean, I'm working with a gentleman right now from Saudi Arabia. Brandon, he's climbed the highest peak on all seven continents. He's swam with sharks in Madagascar. He did the Iditarod in Alaska. I look at him, I'm like, nobody can relate to you. Nobody in your audience has climbed Mount Everest, but I guarantee you, everybody in your audience peed their pants when they were little. Everybody in your audience has had a stupid argument with their spouse about the toilet paper going over or under. Those are the stories that people connect with. And one of my favorite storytellers is Brené Brown. She's a wonderful speaker, and I completely agree with her. She talks about why it's, and you had mentioned this about me exposing something vulnerable, talking about something that bad that happened to me. And this is what I always, this is the best strategy I share with people. It's the very first strategy. I say, stop sharing your successes, start sharing your failures, because not everybody in your audience has succeeded, but they've all failed. And the more you talk about your own failures, the more your audience is going to see themselves in you. And that's ultimately what you're trying to do in any presentation, is connect with your audience.
I mean, that's the whole purpose. That is the human connection, is relatability. And if someone comes on my show and they've never had a bad day, they've never had, anything happen, like, who is listening to that? People have checked out. But I love what you say, because you're like, everything and everyone is interesting. I had this mentor just kind of say something once that stood out, because I was like, I'm never gonna have an interview show. Never, never. I put it on never with a capital N. Okay. I'm like, God, you don't want me to do that. He laughs at me so much. We have this whole thing of like, are you sure? And he's like, yeah, I'm sure. And the thing was, I feel those moments sometimes, like if that I'm not interesting. And those moments that I feel that, my mentor said, if you don't feel like you're interesting, be interested. Be interested. And I thought, you know what? I could sit for 30 minutes and be super interested in people. And it's changed everything. I don't have to be interesting. And I think that's been a little power hack. But what do you think? Because you're a standout guy. I've already got stars all over. I'm gonna make sure I follow Danny. I'm gonna make sure I get resourced. I'm like, man, maybe this guy needs to be my next coach, right? Like, you're doing the damn thing. You've spoken to thousands of audiences. I'm sure you've heard, a lot of speakers as well. What do you think really separates the speakers that people truly remember from the ones that are easily forgotten?
That's a great question, Brandon. So I think good speakers tell stories, but I think great speakers, they tell stories with intention. There's a reason why they're telling you that story. It's moving your heart, but it's also moving the needle. Is what do you want your audience to ultimately do? I mean, when I work with people, they'll come up to me and say, I got a standing ovation. I'm like, that's great. Or they'll say, people want a wonderful speaker now. And I'm like, wow, good for you. But I only evaluate your effectiveness in one way and one way only. How many people in your audience decide to take the next step with you? Now, it can be an unpaid next step, like subscribe to my podcast, or if I'm working with a politician, vote for me. More typically with my clients, it's usually a paid offer, like buy my product or invest in my coaching program. I want you to move hearts, but I also want you to move the needle. How many people in the audience decided you were interesting enough to continue that relationship? And so the best speakers are always very good about that. I'm working with a woman right now. Just so you know, I never tell you the names of my clients.
Yeah.
My co-founder, Jimmy Hayes Nelson, he used to be a Broadway actor. He'll name drop everybody we work with. I believe in a little bit of discretion. So
Right.
we're working with a woman. She's one of the top nutrition experts in the world, and she was ending her presentation with her offer, which is a 90-day coaching program with her for $1,997. And she ended there. I said, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa! You can't do that." And she's like, "What are you talking about?" I'm like, "You have to understand, there's two types of people in your audience. I'm going to be very stereotypical and say it's the
Yep.
husband and the wife. So the husband, I call him Joe Friday. Joe Friday is the guy sitting there in the audience with his arms crossed, looking at you the whole time, like,
Shut
what do you,
down.
who is this person? What are they trying to sell me? What do I got to do? How long is it going to take?" And a really well-crafted presentation addresses all of those questions to satisfy Joe Friday. But if you end with your call to action, which too many people do, you've ignored potentially 50% of your audience, the wife. The wife, I call Julia Roberts. She doesn't care how much it costs. She just wants to feel good. The
Yeah.
reason I listen to Brandon's podcast, I always
Yeah.
feel energized after I listen to this podcast. She's great. And so Dr. Kathy was making a big mistake ending with her offer. I said, we need you to have a really emotional close. And she's like, "Well, how do I do that?" I'm like, "Well, what do you want your audience to do?" And she's like, "I want them to buy my product." I'm like, "Yes, I know you want them to buy your
Yeah.
coaching program." We
Yeah.
went back and forth like that for 5 minutes. I mean, you're so dense. Finally, she let it slip. She said, "I want them to understand they can't do this on their own." Ah,
Okay.
you need to hire an expert story.
Yeah.
She's like, "What's that?" I'm like, "I'll give you an example. I'll leave you all with this. Many years ago, my wife and I, we had theater tickets. We were dressed to the nines, driving to the theater when we got a flat tire. And my wife said, 'Well, I'll call AAA and get a tow truck.' I looked at her, I'm like, 'You don't have to call AAA, I'm a man. You can fix a flat tire.' So I got out of the car and I opened up the trunk and I got the spare tire and then I got the pumper thing and I got the big jack thing to try and take off the nuts off of the tire. And basically, 27 minutes later, I have grease all over my hands. I have not fixed the flat tire. I look up, my wife is standing beside the car with her arms crossed, shaking her head with an expression that says, 'I could have done so much better than this guy.' Well, unbeknownst to me, she'd actually called AAA 27 minutes earlier. And this tow truck shows up. And this 17-year-old punk hops out of that tow truck and proceeds to fix my flat tire in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, I think there are times when all of us think we can do it on our own, but if you want to save time, you want to save money, and you want to save a whole lot of headache and embarrassment, you hire an expert. And so now what I've shown Dr. Kathy, and she doesn't have to use that story, we'll come up with some other story,
Yeah.
obviously. But I said, what we're doing is we're using a story as a metaphor. So now your audience, the last thought they have in their head is, you know, I've tried lots of diet programs before, but Dr. Kathy, I feel like she's my sister. I really feel like she understands me. Maybe I should do the program with her. That's what we're trying to do. And so that's the difference between a good presentation that you might remember for a week, whereas it's a great presentation, is think about it. What were the strategies? I mean, there's only two ways, Brandon, to get better at speaking.
Yeah.
First of all, you know, I've had lots of coaches and mentors. One of my mentors was a guy named Jim Rohn, and Jim used to say, "You can't pay other people to do your push-ups." Translation, you got to do the reps. I mean, I guarantee you, the
Yeah.
first time you did this podcast, it stunk. And the
Yeah.
second time you did the podcast, it stunk. But it
Yeah.
didn't stink as bad as the first one. And now you've been doing it so long, it's a finely tuned machine. You're like a complete natural, and it's no problem. It's the same thing with speaking. This is a skill. I work with people that have horrible stage fright, and you know, you get enough reps in. Sometimes, I mean, a lot of them are still nervous, but they feel so much more confident when they're on
Yeah.
stage. That's the first way you get better at speaking. The second way is you got to watch lots of speakers. I mean, I watch 10 speakers a day. I watch politicians, I watch televangelists, I watch comedians, I watch them in front of big groups, in front of small groups, I watch them in front of men, in front of women. Here, I'll give you a ninja strategy for your audience. I watch a lot of televised award shows. And the reason is when the person wins the Academy Award, they only have 45 seconds to connect with their audience. I want to see how they use their time. Now, most people waste their time. They get up on stage like, "I want to thank God. I want to thank the Academy." It's
Yeah.
stupid. Nobody's paying attention. But every now and then, a person hits it out of the park. So a few years ago, There was a gentleman by the name of Joe Walker who won the Academy Award for Best Film Editing. Now, this is Hollywood. All the important people are in the front of the room, the actors. And the camera scanning the crowd, you see, none of them are paying attention. This is film editing. Joe Walker gets on stage. He's British. He speaks slowly and deliberately. He says, "A lot of people don't know this, but when phrased properly, the term Academy Award nominee can be used as an insult." Well, now the camera scans the crowd. You see everybody leaning in, like, what's he talking about? And he says, "For example, yesterday I got in an argument with my 17-year-old daughter, and she said, 'Well, Academy Award nominee Joe Walker.'" All of a sudden, you see everybody laughing hysterically. He gets off stage. Denzel Washington wants to meet him. Sandra Bullock wants to meet him. Brad Pitt wants to meet him. Time Magazine said it was one of the highlights of the Academy Awards. Well done, Joe Walker. Everybody has that within them, but you got to practice and you got to watch really talented people on stage. So, again, very long answer to your short
No,
question.
it's perfect, Dan. I think, Danny, that's a perfect answer because I think, it does take practice. And to be honest, this show's about 2 months old and I still have sweaty palms. Like I get nervous. And so I want people to understand that it doesn't matter. I have Listen Bitch podcast. That's the flagship show. Doesn't matter. I've been doing it for 3 years and there's still times where I get incredibly nervous and I think, man, I really don't. Can I talk about this today? It's that vulnerability. It shows up. So that's just human. It's human. And I think everybody that wants to step into this arena, and I want you're doing work that I'm absolutely passionate about. I think a lot more people need to have a podcast, a lot more people need to be speaking because this is our arena, right? Social media is so curated, it's exhausting. This is where we get the real stuff. And so consistently, I'm like, this is what needs to happen. And everybody that's going to start, you have to be willing to look dumb because you're not going to knock it out of the park with an Academy Award speech the first time you do this. And I think it's that fear of like, I'm going to look stupid. The first time I was on stage, I needed a hypnotist to get out there. I was like, I can't move my feet to the stage. And it worked. And I moved people and people bought my books and people, reached out to me. I'm still friends with so many people that were in that audience. It was terrible. I'm embarrassed. I wouldn't play it out there, I'm like, well, I have a lot of work to do, right? But that's the point. It's the reps and it's you have to practice. You have to put yourself out there and you have to be open to the coaching and the training. What do you think is the secret ingredient for speakers to hold attention when they're speaking?
Well, obviously, I think it's storytelling as opposed to fact telling. People like to impress people with their knowledge. And of all people, it was Joseph Stalin who said, "A million people dead is a statistic. One person dead is a tragedy." Translation: facts tell, stories sell. Facts inform, stories transform. It's all about storytelling. When companies will hire, I have a company right now, a financial services company, and they had this 1 hour long presentation, which impressed you with all kinds of charts and graphs and things like that. And I totally redid the presentation. We've made it all into stories, and we've tripled sales based on the storytelling. Walt Disney said people think in pictures, and he's absolutely right about that. Is look at how just look at road signs. People aren't noticing this. There's a transformation in road signs. They're getting further and further away from words, and they're changing it to images because the brain can process an image 60,000 times faster than it can process words. And here I'll give you an example. I do this all the time with people, so. I want you to think of an apple, Brandon. Take a couple of seconds. Think of an apple. Now, tell me what you just thought of. Describe it.
A green apple.
A green apple. Okay.
Green
Some people
apple.
say I thought of a red apple. Some people will say I thought of an apple pie, or I thought of an Apple computer or an Apple phone. I've done this with literally tens of thousands of people. I've never once had a person say, "Oh, I thought of Apple," because
Ever, never.
you don't think in words, you think in images.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, I agree. Stories sell. I think storytelling is a key business tool. So how do you, 'cause I think you're a numbers guy, a little bit there. How does that actually convert? How do you get people to actually convert their storytelling in at the
Well,
business
I
level?
again, it's all about your pay. I'm a little bit different than a lot of like so-called coaches out there. Most coaches, when they're teaching you how to speak, they say, oh, the way you're going to connect is talk about the most traumatic moment of your life. And there's three reasons why I refuse to do that, Brandon. I mean, first of all, the world just survived a global pandemic. Everybody's had a lot of bad stuff happen to them. I don't think we need more sad stories. I think we need more uplifting stories of hope. Second of all, with my clients, I'm teaching them how to create what I call a well-crafted story. Politicians would call it a stump speech. I've heard people call it a signature talk. You can call it peanut butter and jelly. It doesn't matter what you call it. This is a presentation you're going to deliver again and again to introduce yourself to new audiences. It should be so ingrained in your brain, it's like the Pledge of Allegiance or the Lord's Prayer. You're not going to have to think about it. Well, do you really want to relive the worst experience of your life again and again? I mean, I got a friend, his daughter was killed in a school shooting. He's told that story over 1,000 times. I mean, you gotta be a lot stronger than me to talk about the worst day of your life. I have no idea how he does that. And third, and this is where people get angry with me, I've got one basic objective when I'm on a stage. I want you to leave feeling better than when you came in. I want you laughing, smiling, happy. I think there's something admirable about that as a basic objective. I feel the people that tell those same sad stories again and again, by the 20th time they're telling it, now those are crocodile tears and now they're being manipulative. And I'm not saying it's not an effective sales strategy. It's actually a very effective sales strategy. But I personally don't want to have to take a shower once I got off stage because I just manipulated my audience. There are ethical ways to get people to want to do business with you. The example, I was just at a meeting of venture capitalist. And so the story, I most of the people were giving presentations about all their different offers and things like that. And they brought me in to show them how to pitch better. And so the story I used, and so as a teacher, I love using teaching stories, but anybody like your childhood stories, I love childhood stories because you can look silly and make a lot of mistakes and people don't hold it against you. Because you've had time to grow since then. There's a difference between something you did in first grade versus something you did as vice president of the United States. I mean, it's very different, you know. And so the story I said, I'm like, you know, when I was an elementary school teacher, they asked me to judge the science fair, and there was three finalists. So the first finalist, she was giving us a presentation on the effects of photosynthesis on chlorophyll production. She had a trifold. She had all kinds of bullet points. She had charts. The second finalist, he was doing a comparative analysis of soil density. He had graphs. He had numbers. He had laminated dirt. The third finalist had a baking soda volcano that exploded every 90 seconds. Now, which one do you think got the attention of most of the people at the
You know, we're
science fair?
watching explosions,
The
y'all.
chlorophyll, the dirt, or the volcano? You know, I'm like, and so this is what the point I made to them. I'm like, you know, it wasn't the smartest project. It wasn't dazzling with the most accurate information. Matter of fact, a lot of the information wasn't accurate. But it got your attention. It was explosive. So many people I watch, they're delivering chlorophyll presentations. They're showing dirt to private equity, and they're completely ignoring how to capture people's attention. The way you capture anybody's attention is by starting with a story and bringing the audience along for the ride. I mean, this has just been proven throughout history. People, I mean, I was on a Christian podcast earlier today, and I was just mentioning to the podcast host, I said, well, that's why I love reading the Bible. I always laugh when I'm reading the Bible because Jesus is the most frustrated teacher in history. He's got 12 dense guys around him that never understand what he's talking about. And he's like, all right, let me tell you a story.
All the
And
parables,
this is the point I would like to make, Brandon. I bet you 9 out of 10 non-Christians are familiar with the story of the Good Samaritan. They're familiar with the story of the prodigal son. They're familiar with the story of David and Goliath. But I also bet you 9 out of 10 Christians cannot tell you the Ten Commandments. And the reason is it wasn't presented as a story. It was presented as a PowerPoint slide with 10 bullet points for you to memorize. people don't remember the numbers, they remember the narrative. And that's what I love to do with my clients is let's make this much more memorable so that people are telling their friends. I've never seen a person share a statistic with a friend, but I've seen them share stories with a friend.
I'm sitting here trying to multitask in my brain because I'm like, wow, Listen Bitch needs a little reform here because I think I'm not telling enough stories, right? And at the same time, I'm loving what you're saying about capturing that attention. Also, I'm thinking, so you kind of have a job as a speaker. You have to be able to read a room, adjust, and build a connection. So how do you juggle all of that? Like that, knowing that you want to get their attention, not every audience is going to be the same.
Yeah, so I have a process I take my clients through. So you have to forgive me, I'm a former teacher. So everything I do either rhymes or it's alliterative. And so I call it the 5 C's process. And so, first of all, we need clarity on what you're going to talk about. Once we understand the answers to the two most important questions, which is who is your audience and what is the problem that you're solving, once we can answer those questions, then we need to connect with our audience, teach meaningful content that serves the audience, have one clear call to action, and then have an emotional close. And so I always tell people in the first 5 minutes of your talk, you need to wrap. Wrap stands for you need to show you're relatable, you need to demonstrate your authority, and you have to share your purpose. So let me give you an example. So, relatable. Oh, man, I am just like you. I've had that exact same problem. Authority. And I solved that problem, purpose. And now I'm on a mission to help people just like you so you don't have to suffer the way I suffered. If you can do that in the first 5 minutes, you're going to build a lot more trust with your audience. And that's what we're trying to do is how, I mean, we're more sophisticated consumers now than at any point in history. We can figure out really quickly if somebody's trying to scam us or if they actually care about us. And so I always say, when people say, Danny, I don't want to sound salesy, I'm like, well, here's my strategy. Don't sell, just serve. I mean, look at your podcast. My business partner drives him crazy. I do so many podcasts. He'll be like, only one person listens to that podcast. And I always retort, I'm like, I don't care how many are listening, I just care who's listening. I mean, if you only have one subscriber and it's Oprah Winfrey, that's not a bad audience. Or, and this is even more important, I'm very serious about this, Brandon. You might be the person that some suicidal person's listening to right now, and you say something that convinces them, it's not worth it. I have a reason to live. That's a very important and very noble cause.
No, I think that's an important perspective to have. And that's, what I've always said anytime I start any show, when I'm working with someone, people are like, I have to speak to this whole audience. And I'm like, no, babe, always. It's one person. So it's that intention of every time you stand up to speak or every time you're, it's one person. If we really took on that pressure of like, we have to speak to everybody, we're never going to make sense of anything. But if you can focus on, there is just one person, and if you could show up every day for that one person, that's that service. I love that. And there's, I see this common thread, right? I'm 2 months in on this show. I've probably done 70 interviews up to this point. And I asked two questions before I start. And one of those questions, the first question I ask people, I guess I'm giving away my secrets for the show. I ask people when they come in, like, what is the message you want to be known for? Because I want to make sure that gets represented, right? And then I ask, what do you want that to do for your people? And I would say 80% of the people that I've spoken to, it's still just always about them. And I think, man, they're missing so much magic here because it's not about, I want people to buy my books. So what? They buy your book, then what? They buy your book, then what? I think if we could just get to the real core of like what we want people to do, if we could get outside of the books we want to sell and the course we want to sell, and we could serve people, like you said, Danny. I mean, I think that makes us, untouchable. And I think that's one of the things that makes us interesting and keeps us connected to our audience is that you see through that. People are going to see through it if every day I'm on here just trying to sell my book, right? Which there it is. No. But you know what I'm saying? It's that like, what is the thing? Because I think communication is just, it's lacking in the world anyway, right? And especially, my pet peeve of social media and just, it's a lot of woe is me. It's a lot of curated, cultivated, let's keep the world pissed off and sick and angry and keep everybody hating each other. It's crazy to me. But there's a big lack of communication. So what is something that, someone listening today, they're like, maybe I'm not ready for the speaking. Brandon, I'm not ready for that podcast. I see you. What's the one thing they could do right now just to become better communicators?
Well, you already basically alluded to it. The start is what stops most people. You actually did something. I mean, I was speaking at an event, and the first two people that spoke, they were considered thought leaders, and I was feeling facetious that day, so I got on stage. I'm like, "How many of you need another thought?" Yeah, I'm not a thought leader. I'm a results leader. How many of you need a result? Like, most people never take action. I push people to take action. Like, when I was a teacher, whether I was teaching my little ones or my older ones, as they exited my classroom for the day, they always had to hear the same refrain. I said, "Remember, kids, education is valuable, but execution is priceless. Knowledge is not power. Only applied knowledge is power. Knowing what the right thing to do and doing the right thing are two very different things. So let's all go out, do the right thing, and make this world a better place." I believe that. And that's the reason I love being an educator, was there's a great he's passed on, but Keith Harrell was a wonderful speaker. He used to say, a lot of people say garbage in, garbage out, and he's like, "That's wrong. Garbage in, garbage stays." But I also believe you tell somebody they can do it enough times, they start actually believing that they're doing it. So your question was one word, but so the word would be start. And I'll just share another story. I was speaking to schools in India in 2018. And after one of my presentations, all the kids are coming up. They're all excited. And I look at this one boy, and he looks up at me. He's crying. And I notice he's missing his left arm. And he looks up. He's like, "How can I succeed?" And so I get down to his eye level. I'm like, "When I was your age, I went to 18 different schools before I was 12. Everybody called me stupid because I stuttered." And eventually I went to a school where a teacher, she worked one-on-one with me, and she would sing things to me, and I found I could sing without my stutter. And I eventually lost my stutter and I became a swan. But I looked at that boy in the eyes and I said, "Isn't it interesting that the little boy everybody used to make fun of because he couldn't talk right now gets paid ridiculous sums of money to travel the
To
world
speak.
to do what?" He gets the biggest grin on his face. He's like, "Speak. I'll never let anybody tell you what you can't do. Anything is possible." And I believe that. So that's the other thing, is actual personal conviction. Is this is what separates you and me, Brandon, from a lot of people. A lot of people, they're just completely insincere. And I don't want to work with an insincere person that's making the world a worse place. That's why I was watching a horrible show on TV last week called, The News, and it totally depressed me. It's all this bad stuff. I'm like, "I don't need to hear
Can
that
imagine.
garbage. I don't want that garbage. I want to be around anybody can gripe. I want to surround myself with people that are part of the solution. I mean, your enthusiasm's contagious. Like, you lift people up. That is so awesome, Brandon. If we had more people like you, we'd have a lot fewer problems in the world."
Hey, I'm working on it, Danny, one episode at a time, one person at a time, to get them to understand. Because what? I'm nothing special. I didn't get a magic wand waved over me. I didn't get lucky. It was just a decision, right? It's a decision. Do I want to stay stuck? Because if I stay stuck, I'm miserable forever. Do I want to move? And if I'm going to move, why wouldn't I bring people with me? Why wouldn't I bring people with me? And that's what I want you guys to understand is, the Danny's in the world, the Brandon's in the world. We just want you to step into your story because you have one. And it's not so we could sit here and cry together, because where did Danny start? He lost everything, right? Lost everything. We were not boo-hoo. It was like there's the reality of it. Like he didn't, no magic happened. He worked his ass off for this. He stepped into it. He did the reps. He's doing the things. And that's just it's what I want you guys to see the most, is that we're not different than anyone, although Danny definitely is my newest mentor here, because I'm still in awe here. I'm still trying to get my brain to catch up to the conversation here. Do you have like a special framework, because you work with entrepreneurs, to actually turn their speaking into leads or income? Do you have a special framework, or is it just really individual based?
Yeah, no, it's the five C's. I take them through the process. It's a formula, and once you understand the formula, you'll be a much more effective presenter. And I can tell you from experience, it works. Because when I was in India, I wasn't there to speak. I was just there to tour schools. And the very first school I went to, the principal opens up a door. There's 5,000 kids in an auditorium. There's 20 newspapers, five TV stations, and the principal says, "And now, for the next hour, Dr. Brissell is going to teach us the three secrets to reading better." Brandon, nobody told me I'm speaking and I have no such speech, but I got 5,000 kids, I got media there, and I got to count, think on my feet. So fortunately, it's India, so I speak a little bit slower. So I look at the kids and I'm like, "Today, I am going to teach you the three secrets to reading better. Who wants to learn the three?" And the kids are going wild. And in my head, I'm like, "What the heck are the three secrets to reading better?" And in 30 seconds, I, using exactly the same process I take my clients through, I formulated a presentation that was broadcast to 1.5 billion people that day. And now I actually have a company based on that speech that I came up with using this presentation. It's a process now. Like when you were talking about you still get sweating palms, I'm like, "Brandon, you're in company." I mean, Barbara Streisand still vomits before she goes on stage. President Reagan vomited before every speech he ever gave. Bill Russell, all NBA center for the Boston Celtics, vomited before every game. I mean, what's great is it means you're excited. People often think nervousness is a bad thing. I'm like, nervousness isn't bad. It means this actually means something to you. You take it seriously, like embrace that. And the way you get better is you do the reps. You might always have those sweating palms. No big deal. We didn't know that. Like, it's amazing. Like, you shared it, which I love that you shared that. I mean, a lot of people don't know that. That's phenomenal. But yeah, well, I'll just end right there. I admire you for that. I mean, most people, they don't ever attempt to do anything that they feel uncomfortable doing. And I'm like, but that's where growth happens. Is you got to do things. There's not a, I always say every expert started off as an amateur. You know, when you're in kindergarten, going to first grade is a big move up and you're nervous. But after you spend a couple of days in first grade, you feel all right. I guarantee you, all these great college athletes, when they become pros, they're nervous the first time they get on that field or that court or whatever. And after a few reps, they start to feel more confident. I guarantee you, anybody that's been elected president of the United States, their first day in the Oval Office, they don't feel like they belong there. Everybody has that imposter syndrome. But everybody that is an expert, they started out as the amateur. And this is why I love reading stories about people, because I realize, oh, I'm not the only misfit out in the world. There's a whole bunch of other people that were misfits. And what separated them, you said a secret element, is we work hard. A lot of people think that the fairy godmother is just going to touch you with the wand and automatically you're just good at something. I'm like, no, people don't look at the hard work that goes into all of these things. That's why I admire when I see a person that's successful. I think it's demeaning to tell that person that they're lucky or that, you know, like, oh, you're so talented. Yeah, to develop that talent, that person worked very hard to develop that talent. I don't believe there's people that are just naturally don't have to do anything to get that success.
No, I have a whole book on that called Fuck Luck Bitches. Did I just
There
plug
you
another
go.
book? Look at that. No, because it's very demeaning to hear that. I think it's the worst thing you could say to someone is, wow, you're so lucky, because nobody knows. You just don't know. It's like you said in the very beginning, we don't know people. We don't know their stories. We don't know what they've been through. And I just think people, it's the ignorance, of course. I don't think anyone ever means it as a dig, but it definitely, I'm like, yeah, let me show you luck. All the tears, the scars, I'll show it all.
That's
It's
right.
fine. We are coming up on our time here, so I want to ask a final question, and then I want you to tell everybody, like, how do we get resourced with you? And by everybody, I mean me. I'm going to write it down. Where can they find Danny? I'm going to make sure I don't miss a beat here. But what does a truly powerful speaker understand that most people don't?
They understand that they're not the hero. The audience is the hero. They are the guide. They're there to make, and you've done this so many times already today. They're there to make their audience realize you can do this.
I love that. Help us get resourced with you. Where can we find you? Someone wants to work with you.
Well, as a thank you to you, Brandon, and your audience for having to listen to me all this time, I wanted to give everybody a freebie. So if you go to freestoryguide.com, guide like a tour guide, freestoryguide.com, I'm going to give everybody their own complimentary, well-crafted story blueprint. What this is the actual process that Coach Jimmy and I take our clients through to help you create your well-crafted story. What this does for you is it takes the guesswork out of what story should I use and where should I put it in my presentation? And what this means is you now have a system that'll convert any audience into actual clients, move hearts, but also move the needle. You can get that at freestoryguide.com. And again, I just really want to thank you, Brandon, for all that you're doing. You inspire me. I love people that are actually out there doing it. You're doing it.
Yeah.
Most people talk, and never do anything. You're doing it.
Yeah. And same goes for you, which means this is the part of the show where I get to tell you what I think makes you special. And it's not just that you speak right, because we have a lot of people that can get on a stage and hold a mic. It's that you are helping people to be heard. You have worked on what it takes to hold the attention of an audience that can't be manufactured. You can't fake a genuine care when it comes to people and their stories and moving the needle. You can't fake that. You are just vibrant in this. You're radiating in that. You're taking something most people struggle with. You're turning it into something clear, impactful, and completely usable. In a world full of noise, I think that matters on a level that people like us really understand more than others. You have this incredible influence. I think what you're doing is beautiful and powerful, and God put a calling on your life and you haven't blinked. I love that. I think that's what makes you special. To everyone listening, you guys, your voice matters. Not someday, not when it's perfect, but now. God did not give you this story just for you to keep it to yourself. He gave it to you to use it, to be bold in your truth, to be radically honest with yourself, to get clear. That's what makes you magnetic. And I would say that's what Danny Purcell is. He's very magnetic. And please remember, you guys, your mess is your message. I'm shaking you all. If you can't see me on YouTube, I'm shaking you, because that thing that you're stuck in, that's the whole story. That's where you start. The parts that you're unsure to say, even the pieces that you've been holding back, even the parts of your story that you think aren't ready, that's what someone else needs today, that one person. So if you're actually ready to use your voice, please reach out to me. Okay. You guys need to get resourced with Danny. Make sure you are getting the freebie. I wrote it down again just in case, even though I probably already have it ready for the show notes, because I'm not going to miss out on that. Okay. But that's it, you guys. That's it. Stop sitting on your voice. If this episode meant something to you, please share it out, because there's probably one person that Danny and I don't know that really need to hear it. And it's kind of selfish if you can't just click the button to share it out, because there is someone that needs to get resourced with him. I appreciate you guys. Make sure you're subscribed. Danny, thank you so much. This was inc you made my day. The sweaty palms are worth it. So, you guys, if you're ready for the hot seat, come tell me why you're special.